Hey everybody, I trust you can hear me. Good. I used Amazon Smile twice today. I ordered the axe video that Regina suggested, and I bought another little thing. So the reminder is helpful. Thank you for making those announcements, Cheryl. And I want to start the program today with a song, and this is for Anne. Sweet song. It's funny how so many of the love songs, you know, that we grew up with can be seen from a Holy Spirit perspective and can inspire us in that way. You know, to know that we're not alone. And as Connie and I were reading last night in NTI, that this willingness, our willingness is our call for love. And you know, that's all that we've ever been doing as we listen to these songs growing up and we're inspired by them. You know, that's that same call that we, the call of love to love, the call within ourselves. Yeah. So, thank you, Ian. So let me take a moment here for prayer. And as I close my eyes and reach for that center, I can just feel that love, that energy just rise up from the depths of my heart. And and it's a physical feeling. I can feel it just rise up. And I want to express my gratitude for the consistent availability of that center. In prayer, I would ask that with today's sharing, that I see what it is that I need to see, that I see what it is that I haven't been willing to see, and that as I share, I gain an understanding of my blind spots. In gratitude. Amen. So, I was saying to Ken and Regina yesterday that I hadn't been doing a lot of journaling, so I didn't know what it was that I might speak about today, since since my primary method here is to look at my journaling, and as I look at that issue, I can see that it is an issue. It's like what Regina was talking about last night in gentle healing. We all want to think that we're more willing than we are. As I say that, I'm like, God knows I'm willing. Here I sit in Pueblo, Colorado. That's proof, right? But it's like, maybe. I think there's a lot going on with with not journaling. There's a lot going on with not keeping that thought of awakening, printed out somewhere. I'm looking at the time. It's 1:11. That's real sweet to me. It's just a wink from the universe. There's this clinging to the old habits still happens, to the belief that some things are more important than others. Let's look. Let's see which one of these, because I do have a journaling that speaks to this issue. It's an entry that says, Father, what would you have me share? Oh, man, this is multi-layered. I ended up not liking this journaling very much and really feeling like I'm in my ego. And I think I mentioned at some point the other day that because I've begun sharing from my journal, it's like, okay, now suddenly I have an audience, right? So it's been so I've been more tempted to judge what it is that I'm writing. And again, Regina spoke about that last night. I can't remember if it was Teresa or Lene's sharing. They talked about, judging their journaling and then just going, what the heck, and just, being tempted to not journal for that reason, or to finish their journaling for that reason, and then just, going on with it. And that's addressed somewhat here, well, or not addressed, you'll see. Here we go. Father, what would you have me share? You are the chosen one. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't say that. I can't say that. I can't say that I'm the chosen one. So we added, You all are chosen by your desire to know that which lies beyond the thinking mind, that would plan for everything right up to your demise. Okay, and that's the thinking mind that would plan for everything right up to the day I die, right? I'm going to have it all very carefully structured. The choosing here is not like, I'm somehow I'm Neo in the Matrix. I'm the anointed one. We're all the and I know the truth of that. Even though I feel like ego got in this first paragraph somewhat. The truth of it is that we are all chosen, and that once that occurs, or not that that occurred, that's just the truth of it. But then the choice is ours. So that choice is mine to make. Whether I see myself as the chosen one, whether I see myself as entitled to all that that would entail, or whether I choose to continue to see myself as, an individual, a good individual, somebody that's working hard towards something, towards being a good individual. Towards being a good spiritual student, or whether I accept now, in this moment, that I am indeed the chosen one. That choice is mine. So, we're all chosen. The next step is for us to choose to see that for ourselves. The journaling continues. Let the mind go. You need not plan for a future that will never arrive. Your task is to live, be in this moment, with this moment, as this moment. You do not need to chart the course of awakening. There is no work to be done. Find your center and abide there. And I asked, because I'd been listening to that Jack O'Keefe video on trust and spirituality, where she talks about living without a story. I asked, what does it mean to live without a story? And I wrote, it means there is no hero and no hero's journey. Notice that the prodigal son was never without his inheritance. He only behaved as such when he believed it to be true. Claim your inheritance. Claim your power. Your power lies in not relying upon yourself. Your power lies in your prayer that your dreams be undone. Your dreams are undone as you cease to put your faith there. Your hope for security and assurance is the thing that keeps you from the recognition that all is well, all the time, regardless of what appears in form. You must let go your relation to form. Be the one who watches, who sees form unfold without investment. Do as I ask you to do and watch the results. And then after I wrote that, I'm getting ready to read a sentence here. I'm like, okay, that's not inner wisdom. That's ego. So anyway, I wrote, you could not order your life to match the glory that I have in store for you. And then I wrote, that sounds like ego. So I don't know. I don't know what it is. I know that it's not a good reason. Regina says, no, that sounds like spirit. Well, to me, see, it sounds grandiose. Who is little old me to, glory? I got glory in store for you. Oh, come on. Maybe you spent too long in the Baptist church. But what it did do is I wrote, that sounds like ego, and that was all that I wrote for that day. And then, of course, I was not encouraged to write the next day, because what's the point in writing down a bunch of ego thoughts in my journal? So I appreciate the feedback, Regina and Kathy, that it sounds like spirit. And I appreciate that what Regina taught about that last night was right on time for me. Just write it. Just write it. Don't worry about an audience. Don't worry about whether it's pure, just write it. Just write it down, because the trick is to get you not, the ego's trick, as Regina pointed out last night, is to get you not to write. So I appreciate that advice. So I don't know how much I have to share to get today. I guess we'll find out. But I feel like I did my sharing on Sunday. but I'm going to read this next. Pardon me, it's my smoker's cough. I am going to read you the journaling that I did this morning. Because I feel like it does actually follow up on what we talked about on Sunday. And of course, what we talked about on Sunday was, giving up the model that we've spent our whole life building, the one that seems to keep us safe, giving up the need to have events, thoughts, experiences fit within this model in an attempt to make sense of our world, in an attempt to give ourselves some sense of security and stability. So let me read this to you. And this is based on today's thought of awakening. So I'll read that first. See that the thought, excuse me, see that the thoughts you want to hold. See that the thoughts you want to hold to are only thoughts you want to hold to. They are ideas only. And you want to hold to them as if they are your life. But are they your life? Are these ideas that which you are? And so I asked, what thoughts do I want to hold to? And I had three categories: justice, love, and intelligence. So, for justice, people get what they deserve. Hard work is rewarded. Selfishness is punished. And then I wrote in parentheses, is its own reward. And I mean that in a negative sense, right? But I'm just being really, really honest about, these fundamental beliefs. Hard work is rewarded. Selfishness is its own reward, right? If you want to grab yours and get yours, well, that's all you're going to get, and you're not going to get any spare benevolence floating around the universe. Anyway, hard work is rewarded, selfishness is punished, but it's this underlying theme of justice. And then regarding love, I wrote, this is a thought that I want to hold on to, that true love within relationship is possible and desirable. And that's all I wrote about that, but I come back to that later in this writing. And then in regard to intelligence, that intellectual ability is a virtue that sets me apart from the crowd, that keeps me safe, that gains me that which I need and desire. It's funny because my selfishness, I'm going to be punished for this, right? The I am bad thought comes up because these just seem, sound like, gosh, these are my fundamental beliefs. These sound horrible, right? Except for the love part, but in all honesty, when I ask what thoughts do I want to hold to, these are the thoughts. These are the centering thoughts. So let me read a little bit further. I wrote, I see that I use these ideas as the building blocks, as the ordering principles to make sense of the world I live in. They tell me who to like, who to respect, and how to behave myself. They are the measuring stick I use, not only on others, but on myself. Usually, we all come up lacking. Most people, including myself, are seen as more selfish than hardworking. Most fall far short of the unconditional selflessness in support of the relationship that I would define as love. Boy, that tells me a lot about, well, all my relationships, I think, you know. Certainly about this latest relationship. But yeah, but if all of your actions aren't in directly support of the relationship, then, you know, then you're selfish and you don't love me. Funny how those two dovetail the idea of justice, you know. Hard work contrasted with selfishness, and how that flows in and seems to inform this idea that I have of what love is, what love within a relationship is. I also wrote, most either don't have the intellectual capacity or are too lazy to use it to measure up to my standards. And again, guys, I know this makes me sound awful, but it's honest. I mean, and I don't go around holding these measuring sticks out, and I shoot, I don't know, maybe I do. Maybe I do. You know, they're subtle. I don't think of, they're not in the front of my mind when I'm interacting with people, but they're foundational. They really are foundational. Yeah, and on this intellectual idea, it's funny because it's got me coming and going. It says most either don't have the intellectual capacity or are too lazy, and see how that fits back in with my justice thing? All these are like they're integral. They're a firm foundation. They all fit very nicely together. Yeah, most either don't have the intellectual capacity or are too lazy to use it to measure up to my standards. Those that do have the intellectual capacity, right? Those that do are to be watched carefully as their intellectual prowess is seen as a threat to my own. So again, there you go. Damned if you do, damned if you don't, or damned if I do, or damned if I don't. You know, so you're either falling far short of my measure, or uh-oh, I gotta watch that. I gotta watch you. You're a smart one, you know. And then so then I get to hold up, you know, my measuring stick next to you and go, oh gosh, you know, I need to be careful of that one because who knows what imagined scenarios there are, but I know, but it's a threat. It's so you're either unworthy or you're a threat. Those are the two categories you get to go in order to sustain these beliefs that I have used as a model for myself and my relationship to the world. It's pretty ugly. It's shocking, really, to see what's in there. You know, I'm reminded, Ken was, I missed Ken's teaching on this, but Ken, in our leadership meeting, the other day was talking about having shared about, making coffee for Becky, and that he told himself that he was doing it because he loves her, and then later realized, you know, in contemplating that, realized that no, he was doing it to make himself lovable, to make her love him, or something to that effect. I apologize to Ken if I've misquoted him or misinterpreted what he said. But I think the reason that comes in my mind is is because, all of these things are these foundational beliefs are the things that drive me. They're the things that drive the actions that I take in my world. And I take them so that I can gain some advantage. They're all taken to gain some advantage, right? To gain some advantage so that I can maintain this sense of self. I think true love is selflessness. But when do I ever extend that? Who have I ever extended that to? My son, maybe? Stop it, Regina. You can't have that. Regina says, Kabbalists say selflessness with our children doesn't count. Well, thanks for that, Regina. I'd like to have at least that, right? Anne says, that's cold. Yeah, I think I remember something like that because they're just an extension of us. So it's not even really selfless. Okay, so who have I ever extended complete selflessness to? Well, maybe nobody. Yeah, but this is what we're learning. I'll cut myself a break and know that this is what I'm learning. Okay. So I wrote, who would I be without these thoughts? How would I order my world? And in line with one of the sharings last night from Gentle Healing, somebody was talking about making affirmations as a part of the writing process, and so I did that, right? So I wrote, "I am not my ordering principles. I see that these ideas limit me to experiencing only that which fits into that framework. I am either victor or vanquished, smart or stupid, hardworking or lazy, loved completely or unloved." And yeah, I left out there that we just talked about, right? I am either loving or hateful. And I can't bear to see myself as hateful. I want to believe that I'm loving. But as you can see, my assessment of that is that I fall far, far, far short of ever having done that. I write, "I am willing to let go of these ideas of life and be shown the truth without the need to order my experience." And I am willing. I realized after my talk on Sunday that, yeah, really, I am willing. I'm not sure how it's done. I mean, it's just so foundational. It's like, gosh, where do I even start? But let's look and see if any wisdom came through in this writing. You are well aware that any idea of control is a fantasy made up by you. You are also aware that these ideas keep you from that which is your heart's desire. We were talking a while ago during Kathy's program about smoking. It's like, I was a non-smoker for, I smoked for many, many years, and then I was a non-smoker for, I don't know, 5 years. And then, like I said, I recently took up smoking again. And frankly, I prefer being a non-smoker. I feel better. Most mornings as a smoker, I wake up and I feel a little bit of nausea, I'm in Colorado now. I'm gonna start hiking with my buddies out here, and I just, smoking's expensive. I'd rather be a non-smoker. But when I finish this program and before my next task, I'll go smoke a cigarette. So it's like, I have no idea yet. What this crying is about. The analogy I'm trying to make is that I know what my heart's desire is. I know my heart's desire is to know the truth beyond the stories that I have been telling myself. But I haven't quite figured out yet how to put those stories down. Same way as I would love to, once again, be a non-smoker. But I haven't quite figured out how to put the cigarettes down again. Gosh, and to carry that analogy further, it's like, how do you stop smoking? Quit putting cigarettes in your mouth. I think maybe Michael Singer said that. it's just. Just quit running the stories, quit believing them, quit investing in them, quit, and I know all this, so it's developing the new habits. So anyway, let me look at this reading again. It says, you are well aware that any idea of control is a fantasy made up by you. You are also aware that these ideas keep you from that which is your heart's desire. You must learn to identify your judgments made based on these beliefs and rest those judgments so that I can teach you a new way of being. Yeah, so I mean, we know that, right? It's first, just slow it down a little bit. Slow it down. See what judgments you're making. And I can see in my interactions with people these judgments. And they're quick. And they're quick. And I can go, oh, I don't want to think this about that person. Or, ooh, that's an ugly thought. But I think there's something more being said here, and I think that something more is to say, see how these judgments support your fundamental beliefs. See, it's a root cause, right? See how these judgments of, it's always bothered me how people, I've got a story about when I was at the monastery, with Hofmeister's group about just really going through this painful, sharing and uncovering these things that were going on. And then this guy, who showed up like the day before and I've been there for several months or 6 months or whatever it was. And then this guy who showed up the day before is sitting there during this session where I'm sharing this and he's like, gotta forgive it. And I just wanted to throttle him. And so that's been a recurring thing and theme for me. And this recurring, being, it's like, you're a newbie. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. You haven't earned this. So, so it's how that fits into my idea of justice and hard work. And so, and as I said before, it's like, this is, these things, form the basis as of, let's see. They tell me who to like, who to respect, and how to behave myself, these foundational beliefs. So, if I see you as somewhere behind me, and I do, and it's not pretty, oh, you've been doing this for a year? Well, I've been doing it for, however long, depending on the situation, how I want to define how long I've been working hard at this, right? Then I'm not going to respect your opinion very much. I mean, and that's from an ego standpoint. If I open my heart and hear you sharing and hear, sure, if I'm in my right mind, I don't think those things. But I guess the point, here I am defending myself, but the point that I want to make is that I don't think it's enough to just go to hear somebody say something, internally roll my eyes, and then go, oh, shame on you, Jacqueline. You shouldn't think that way. Or, I don't want to think that way anymore. So for me, because those types of things are really going to these foundational beliefs, I need to identify them as such. And then to see that that's feeding that story and to remember. Remember, that's the story I want to let go of. It's a matter of getting to the root of it as opposed to repressing it. You must learn to identify your judgments made based on these beliefs and rest the judgments. So that I can teach you a new way of being. Let me show you that ordering is not necessary. The ordering of my events to fit in my little model. Ask me to show you the lack of meaning in the rules you would apply. Show me a new way of being. Show me a new way of seeing. Show me how to experience without having to fit that within my little model. When you see the temptation to judge, rest. Here's an idea. Center yourself in your heart. And then this, take the time necessary to do this. Take the time necessary to do this. See how your ideas prevent you from doing as I ask. So, and excuse me, that's interesting because you can see how this idea, these ideas of hard work, one of my foundational beliefs, prevents me from doing the work. Prevents me from doing what's being asked of me by inner wisdom. Prevents me from following the guidance. Take the time. You got stuff on your list? Okay. It'll be done, What's more important? Take the time, take 5 minutes, take 30 minutes, take all day. Which I'm hesitant to say in front of my boss. take the time necessary to do this. See how your ideas prevent you from doing as I ask. These thoughts of who you are and who you should be are what keep you from your experience of peace and joy and the hopefulness of unlimited potentiality. You know, and even as I say that, you know, about taking the time, you see, I want to put limits on it. I want to say that there's only so much time in a day, and if I take all my time, you know, doing root cause inquiry and centering myself in my heart, and, you know, shoot, how's all this work going to get done? But that very idea is based on this foundational belief that I have to order my day. I have to do it. You know, that's a lack of trust, that reliance on the thinking mind. It's a lack of trust. These thoughts of who you are and who you should be are what keep you from your experience of peace and joy and the hopefulness of unlimited potentiality. Reach for these and let go of reaching for a safety and security that is promised but never known by your ordering principles. Yeah, and I mean, if you look at the base of this, none of these keep me safe. None of these keep me sane, even. They always keep me chasing the ball, you know? The target keeps moving. Have I worked hard enough? Oh, I'm guilty for being so selfish. Is she smarter than me? Am I smarter than her? Yuck. That's not security. That's an inconstancy that's pretending to be constant. Be willing not to know what anything means, who anyone is, or how they should act. Just watch. Watch your mind's tendency to make everything mean something within your framework. Yeah, it's exhausting, Cheryl. Watch your mind's tendency to make everything mean something within your framework. Then ask your heart to help you experience without assigning meaning. Peace be with you all as well. You know, and I know that there is a way of, I know that to be a genuine experience of seeing from my heart, not with my eyes and not with my thinking mind. I know how to find that center. And so, when I said, I don't know how to undo this whole thing and this dream, these stories, I think it's really, really clear. And it's been clear. I think if I read my journaling for the past year, since we started this new year, I think I would see it there again and again and again. Rest. Find your center. So it's forming that new habit. You know, it's not a quick, oh, I don't want to think that. Ooh, only bad people think those thoughts. You know, that denial, that repression. Or just letting those stories play without ever even recognizing them. So while it seems like going, ooh, I see that thought that I don't want, while that's maybe a step in the right direction, it's not, it's necessary but not sufficient. The other necessary step is to remind myself that I am willing to let go of the old ways of seeing and interpreting the world. I am willing. And then the only other requirement is that I then find my center. You know, my center within my heart. And if that takes 5 minutes, it takes 5 minutes. If it takes 5 seconds, it takes 5 seconds. If that takes 5 hours, that takes 5 hours. You know, I'm reminded of Regina talking about going through purification and having some days where she laid in the bed all day. Was something particularly difficult. That's the work. So, I guess I'll share with you guys just this renewed commitment to experience through my heart and not my head. This renewed commitment to not see a thought and then quickly bury it. But to acknowledge that it's a part of the building block of self, to release it and to return to my center. And I'm asking for a song. And I guess it's okay not to have one because I don't. So I guess I'll, turn this over to thank you, Kathy. I love you. Yeah, mighty companions. So I guess I'm going to turn this back over to Cheryl, and Cheryl just ask you to play whatever you're inspired to play to take us out. Yeah, and I'll while we listen to your selection, I'll give some consideration to the title for today's talk. I love you guys dearly. I love you dearly. I am so grateful and so blessed to have you as mighty companions. Letting go of the mic.
Is all of this to me? I am myself, the timeless one. Yea, I myself am the timeless one. Om. The moon came to me last night with a sweet question. She said, "The sun has been my faithful lover for millions of years. Whenever I offer my body to him, brilliant light pours from his heart. Thousands then notice my happiness and delight in pointing towards my beauty." Hafiz, is it true that our destiny is to turn into light itself? And I replied, "Dear moon, now that your love is maturing, we need to sit together close like this more often, so I might instruct you how to become who you are."